goes first. Again, I want to finish up the Hezekiah, or the parts that we're going to do now, for it. I hope we'll get through the Shaka Vitaria parts today, and also, you know, just to make a few ha'aros on the, you know, the question of the construction of the wall itself. So then after that, I think we're going to get back to Lefikach anyway, but I want to do a few things before that. So let's do a quick, you know, couple of things about, Kelaya Kerem and Garmi, because, you know, it would be criminal not to discuss that there's some interesting Rishonim al Atar, especially in Ramban. So let's do that one next, after we finish the things that we still have to do. And let's, with that, the Gemara Rashi, you know, obviously the Rishonim here al Atar. The
Low
Sugya
battery.
Also.
Please
in,
charge.
What's that? Did it say low charge? Oh. Not according to Josh. Okay, don't worry about it. It'll work or it won't work. The Gemara Rashi, the Gemara in Tosis on Bava Kama Daf Kuf, parallel Sugya, the Ramban here, and especially Divar Maschol Nifritza, Hachi Gar Sinan. Look at the Rambans here. The Tosis Rid and the Meiri, Rabbeinu Yona, the Yad Ramah Osir Ches, the Tur Simin Kufnun Zion, and the Rosh Beis Yud Zion. Also, just look at the Ramban. Anytime you get a topic like this, you have to, you know, we're not going to do it fully because otherwise we'll never get out of it. It's a much bigger topic than Hezekiah, but we have to, you know, at least examine the Ramban's treatment of the issue in Kuntres Dina de Garmi. So in the beginning of Kuntres Dina de Garmi, if you need the pages, I'll get them for you. And the Rambam, in Hilchos Kelayim, Perkei, Halacha Ches through Tes, Tosis and the Gemara, Tosis on the Gemara Nivama, Staf Kei Gimel, and back to Bava Kama Daf Kuf, also look at the Rama and the Rimi or Rimiloniel, I think in the Shit Gubetzes there, the Rama and the Rimiloniel, and the Rash in Kelayim, Zion Dalid, and the Urayim, if you get a chance, Shin Pei Tes. Okay, it's not going to take so long, but just, you know, we don't get an opportunity very often, so, you know, it's something we should take advantage of. Okay. Let's finish up what we have in Hezekiah for now. So we have been, analyzing, especially the interrelationship of, the what we'll call the Shechinim aspect of things, you know, and the Nezikin aspect of things. And that, of course, you know, itself, by definition, if it's true, you know, not everybody certainly agrees to it, but I think we've demonstrated that for some of the Makoros, it's, you know, it's very, very compelling. Again, there are some who just think that given the context and background, you know, we're just dealing with Hezek, for sure. But the idea that this is a different kind of Hezek, and it's a Hezek which also, you know, is defined, in some cases Lekula, in some cases Lechumra, by Shechinim or Shutfus, you know, etc., and that privacy per se, all aspects of it, or at least some, you know, if we're talking about, again, you know, the Rambans, you know, Ena Bisha, Tzniusa, other Rishonims, you know, restriction or devaluation of the property, that some of that at least is, you know, some sort of a combination of our obligations, you know, in a community or two individuals or two Klal Yisrael or as members of Klal Yisrael, you know, which then is manifest in an aspect of Nezek. If that's the case, so that explains also why, you know, there is, I think, more of a hierarchy as well. There's a hierarchy because, you know, if there are overlapping elements, especially if they're overlapping really, meaning, you know, they're not just like, you know, two completely different dinim, but they're on a common denominator rubric of Hezekiah, although some of them are more mystical, some of them are more, you know, practical, some are more, you know, Hefta Shel Nezek and Mammon oriented, some of them are more Kavod HaBrios Tzelem Elokim oriented, But at the end of the day, like, you know, if it's it has this kind of very, you know, complex but also like very ambitious aspect, so the idea that there's a hierarchy, you know, takes on like new significance and meaning. The idea that, you know, different locations, the expectations, or the need, you know, to promote, let's say, certain kinds of standards or values, are just going to be different. So, you know, part of our, you know, analysis has been, you know, how diverse, you know, all this is. That certainly contributes to its complexity, as we've, you know, seen it in various different issues. Like, when is the, what is subject to Hezek Riyah, Shema Hezek, Lo Shema Hezek, that Machlokas? Things like Chatzer, and, you know, Ahava Mina about Ziz, you know, and other things are taken for granted that there are. And then you have also Tzchilukim, which we're going to hopefully complete our discussion of for today, between, you know, there's Bika, there's Gina, there is, of course, Chatzer, and we're going to see soon, you know, there's Nafal, you know, Shiny, you know, there's Hezekah de Rabin, Shiny, there's Hezekah de Bias, Shiny, you know, in our Gemara here on Beis on the Beis, as well as in the Gemara and above on the Beis, as well as in, you know, some of the Gemaras in the end of Chazkas Sabatim, right, there's this, you know, idea of like a separate factor, or of a, you know, a factor, let's say, of, you know, the inability, like, to anticipate and to defend yourself. So all those things could be the fine line, you know, between, you know, some aspect or facet of Hezek Riyah applying and another facet not, but or it could just be that we have to read those Gemaras differently. You know, there's a machlokas in some cases, even if it isn't stated. You know, some of the chilukim aren't really in the world of Hezek Riyah. We're going to get to that in a second. Of course, we had that very, very explicitly, you know, with Gina. Do we have it in the other, you know, parts of the Shakla V'Tarya on Beis on Beis? But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is, even if these things are Hezek Riyah and there is a hierarchy, if there is no absolute, you know, linear hierarchy, that sometimes some aspects are more common, like Gina and those kind of things, like it's Kalmer for this and Kal for that, or simply, you know, maybe the best explanation, you know, ends up being the explanation, you know, that this is, you know, driven by or fueled by, you know, this whole idea of Hilchos Shkenim and this, you know, din of Hashras Hashchina. Because then, the idea that, you know, expectations or a propriety of behavior and conduct, like in one location, one type of location is very different than another. Again, expectations, you know, due to the objective standard of a location, or maybe, you know, due to, you know, the way, you know, that previously people have conducted themselves, that those kind of factors, which seem a lot more amorphous, you know, can end up distinguishing, you know, the application of Dine Hezek Riyah, you know, which seemed like very complex, you know, and very questionable or very puzzling. You know, it's not chalak v'chad, you know, it is or it isn't, you know. All of that works very well according to this general perspective. Okay, so you know, that's obviously the main way that I was trying to explain the Rajba, Udihine, you know, who think that Hezek Riyah Bechatzer, as I say, is like the linchpin for all of this. Like, you know, what you really think the nature of Hezek Riyah is going to depend on this, and that's going to, like, maybe recalibrate, you know, the hierarchy, as we discussed. I should mention that the Gilyon in Shittim Gubensis, which we already spoke about Gina, who says that there are two dinim, has, as a result, You know, there's something called hezekriya, and there's something else called enabisha. You know that that's a massive machlokes. But because he has that, he has a different way to explain, you know, the recalibration. For the Gilyon and the Shita Gubetzes, the recalibration isn't, you know, this subtle, review of what the real Machayev of Hezekriya is. It's more about, well, Chotzer always was more of a Hezekriya issue than Gina, right? Just that, you know, Gina, you know, had less Hezekriya, but it also had Eina Misha. And here, you know, the assumption, of course, of the Gilyon is that in Chotzer there's no Eina Misha. Like, that's only on Tavuah, and so on. So it's more a question of, you know, maybe you have to build a wall because less Hezekriya plus Eina Misha, you know, just trumps, you know, more Hezekriya. So then at the end of the day, once you've said that, you know, Chotzer, you know, qualifies as Hezekriya enough, and since it is more Hezekriya than Eina Misha, so in terms of the question of Mokom Shenagu, you know, Lo Ligdor, you know, that, you know, that's going to be only a Hezekriya issue, maybe not an Eina Misha, you know, issue. Because again, one is financial, the other is more personal, whatever the case may be. So just to make it clear, the Gilyon doesn't like elaborate it so much and say, oh, this is what I'm gaining from this, you know, this approach. He's more kind of explaining the Shakuntari of the Gemara. What was the Havavina? What was the Maskana? Maybe it's just objectively, it's like hard to believe that anybody ever thought that, you know, that Gina is more Hezekriya than Chotzer, if you're looking at Hezekriya in a certain way. Again, not including the Eina Misha part. So then he's just explaining, no, you know, this had two, there are two issues. One is the intensity of the Hezekriya, and the other is when you have two factors versus one factor. But that's how it ends up being. But as I say, I think that is Mechudash. I mean, certainly for Rabbeinu Yonah, for the Rajba, for Bali Tosis, for everybody who thinks that the Eina Misha is included in the Hezekriya, he can say that. And therefore you need to say kind of what I was saying, and that works much better the other way. Okay, having said that, so one other point, just the last point that I was making on Sunday, which was trying to explain the Rambam in about Lokeach and Mocher when it comes to Gina. Right, so what I was saying was that too, you know, that's very Mechudash, obviously. The whole Rambam is Mechudash. You know, the Halacha Tazayin is Mechudash, that you only have to build a 10 Tvachim, you know, wall. And that there really isn't, sounds like, you know, it's not, you know, the regular din of Hezekriya on any level, the Maskana, and that we've discussed. I'll get back to it in just one more second. But, you know, Halacha Yudzayin then becomes, like, incredibly Mechudash, that a Lokeach and a Mocher are going to be treated differently than Shutfim. And especially if you hold, like, the Ksos, which I like, that, you know, even though it doesn't say it explicitly, but this, you know, goes back to Dalet Amos and not just, you know, Ten Tvachim. So, again, we already talked about, you know, the Magid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, you know, being Mocher B'Ayin Yafa, but getting the protections and so on. But again, I like the Ksos' explanation a little bit, too. He compares it to, you know, Tosis's view of Nafal, Shiny, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, you know, Hurgalub, you know, Bitsniusa, or whatever it is, he's saying, oh, this guy, you know, he used to own all the Ginos, now he sold one of his Ginos. So whether it's a you know, standalone, you know, when I sell you something, the expectation, you know, that you owe me protection from it, or that it's implicit that I get, you know, inoculated, you know, from any of the standard value, you know, fallouts from it, even more so than breaking up a shutfus, whether it's that alone or it's the, you know, gina ben aginos and hurgalu bekach, in the end of the day, it's still a very remarkable thing, you know, that somehow lokeach lemocher, you know, the responsibilities of Hezekriya are different, you know, than simply even shchenin. But again, all of this is in Sefer Kenyan, you know. And this part of Hilchos Kenyan is Sefer Kenyan with, you know, with a lokeach and a mocher twist, you know. So it's like really Kenyan. And yet, if it is, you know, a Hezekiah kind of an idea, it really makes a lot of sense. Because, again, if it was just, oh, context determines, you know, Hezek, then, you know, the context isn't really any different. Here it's totally the expectation, you know, and, you know, the sense of you know, Hergel and so on. So I think that this is really very supportive of this idea. Now, Avrami wanted to make a suggestion to me as well. So Avrami, if I'm, you'll tell me if I'm saying it wrong, was troubled by the fact that in Halakha Tezayin, the Rambam doesn't actually spell out the reason for the 10 Tfachim wall, right? Now, the 10 Tfachim wall, as opposed to the Dalet Amos wall, has its roots in, of course, the Dalet Amos wall has roots in the end of Chazkas Tabatim, but also, especially the difference between the 10 Tfachim wall and the Dalet Amos wall, has its roots in the Gemara Vav Beis, right? That's the Gemara that we read about Gagin, you know, and so on. Abaya, Rav Huna, and so on and so forth. So it's that Gemara, where the Gemara says that the basis for the 10 Tfachim wall is Nitfas, you know, he'll be able to be at least Nitfas Kegana. So that is codified by the Rambam, just to make it, you know, Rami's question even a little stronger, maybe, in Paragimel Halacha Vav. Correct? You have it there?
Yeah. He's talking about the
And there's a Gemara in Vav Mem Beis. Yeah, go ahead. Right. So Avrami's Ha'ara is the Rambam is very, you know, quoting the Gemara, you know, and very explicit about the reason for the 10 Tfachim wall, you know, in Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav. But in Perek Beis, Halacha Tezayin, what's the language there? Right. And there he doesn't say that it's because of Nitfas Kaganev. And I would just add that, you know, if the order was flipped, you know, you could say, oh, we've done that already, right? But, you know, he explicates it in Perek Gimel, and he's silent about it in Perek Beis. Now, to temper it just a little more, he does seem to say it's not Hezekiah, but Avrami wants to argue that because that the language is what?
The
Vechein. Say again?
The
Vechein. You have to deal with the Vechein of the Mishnah, you mean? He says, go ahead, what's the language again?
I mean, he's talking about Fatr, he says, Kama Goba Akotel,
right?
Fatr, he says, Kim Papa Smearba Amos, and then he says, the Fain Bikina Kopeyu and Fatr.
Right. But he does say, yeah. Now, in the Tshuva, he does say that the Ten Tfachim is Kain. That's language of the Tshuva, right? To the Chachmei Lonil, correct? Ukein or Kiyotsebo or something like that? Kihechi. Okay. So, what Avrami wants to suggest is that even in Perek Beis, and maybe the reason that it's in Perek Beis, Halacha, Tezayin, you know, the Rambam doesn't mean to completely disconnect Gina from Hezek Re'iyah, correct? Rather, he, you know, kind of is describing, like, you know, a muted, you know, Hezek Re'iyah. So I think that's interesting, based on the Diyukim. It's not typically the way it's understood, but what I wanted to, I thought maybe to add, is that the din of Nitfas Kiganov itself is not completely minutak from, you know, our perspective on Hezek Re'iyah. In other words, you can look at Nitfas Kaganav itself as kind of a standalone issue, you know, that has nothing to do with anything else. In other words, people, you know, have to be able to know when somebody's stealing from them. However, it's possible that the fear, especially the paranoia, you know, that somebody could be, you know, employing a pretext, you know, to steal from you, because it wouldn't even be clear, like you wouldn't have a methodology, like to discern when people are plundering you, you know, that also like creates a certain anxiety, you know, that people don't have. Again, this has nothing to do with it does have to do with pride. It has to do with, let's say, the integrity, you know, of your ownership, you know, and your bias, we'll call it that. So I just wonder, you know, whether in general the din of Nitfas, you know, Kaganav, you know, isn't also a din in the protection, you know, that is needed, you know, by Shechenim, or even Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. Either way, it's something to think about. I'm not really sure about it, but I do think it's something to think about. Okay. Regarding Gina Shiny and Eina Bisha, I still want to come back to that. Zach showed me some interesting Lashonos yesterday. You know, Ayin Bisha, of course, it figures prominently in these sugyas, the sugya here in Bav Basra, and the sugyas in Bav, a couple of sugyas in Bav Metzia. It also, of course, appears in Masechet Avos, like a couple of times in Perek Beis in Avos. One, we talk about the, you know, the Mida, you know, Mida Tova, Mida Ra'a, right? There's like, you know, a contest, you know, in the Mishnah, like what's the worst Mida? So, the list, you know, of top bad qualities or you know, characteristics. So one of them is potentially Ayin Tova and Ayin Ra'a. I think that's Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes, maybe? Something like that. And then the other one, which Zach and I were speaking of, which is Perek Beis, Mishnah Yod Aleph, where the Mishnah speaks about Ayin Ra as one of those things, you know, together with Taiva, I think, and Kavod. Taiva and Kavod? That's Motzi, you know, Ha'adam in Ha'olam. Yeah? Oh, yeah, Zahara, sorry. What is it? So those are really good, you know, places for. Again, I want maybe to do a Monday on this to expand it a little bit, but those are good places, you know, to look. Again, if you look at the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, by the way, in those two places in Avos and in Hilchos Deos, when he talks about Ayin Hara, again, both in those places and also, as I say, in Deos, I think it's Beis Yud Zayin. He talks about somebody who's like, you know, obsessed with accumulating, you know, wealth. And especially is not Sameach Bekalko and is like motivated, you know, maybe also in a competitive way, you know, to increase his own worth, you know, relative to other people. Either because he just can't tolerate that somebody has more than him, you know, that somebody is more successful, material than he is, or just, you know, whets his appetite and he just, you know, he becomes kind of irrational. So he's not mistapek, you know, bemuad, certainly. He talks about nivhal, what's the language I wrote down here? Nivhal lahon, the different, you know, nuskos, exactly what he, you know, asek v'osek v'torah v'samech bemuad, that's ayin tova. So it's just interesting, of course, that the Rambam, you know, provides a very rational, nothing close, you know, to, you know, blazing eyes and, you know, or even, you know, undermining the value. And as we know, the Rambam, you know, kind of downplays, you know, the Ayin Ra situation in in Gina, and in the Tshuva calls it Midas Chasidus, and he doesn't explain what he even, you know, means, you know, by that. We're not surprised that the Rambam, you know, doesn't jump, you know, to give a more, you know, mystical, I guess, you know, explanation. However, you know, in the Tashbates, which is what Zach pointed out to me in his Parash on Avos, number one takes the Rambam to task for not distinguishing between, what is it, Ayin Hara and Ayin Ra. That's the one he focuses on. And he himself, you know, thinks that, I think the language is, Haroa Nichse Chavera Madera Kina, Vuhu Mazik Oso Unchasa. And then, you know, sometimes he thinks it's literally like, you know, he's destroying your property. So too, like the Maral, in a bunch of places in the Parash on Avos, Derech HaChayim, and also, I didn't get a chance to look. I thought that he has also some other nuances. I just didn't get a chance to look yet. In his Nesivos Olam, I think he has one piece on Ayin Tova and another piece on Ayin Ra, if I remember. I have to check them out again just to make sure. So again, the exact, you know, it's just a very interesting, that's why it's a good thing to, you know, we'll make one Monday dedicated to it. But, you know, kind of the suggestions that I made, which were, I guess, ways of, I know, rationalizing or at least, you know, coming, you know, quasi-rationalizing, you know, the effect of Ayin Ra, as opposed to the Ravon and these formulations, which are just like, you know, very mysterious, are things to look at. Yeah?
I didn't see it before, but it's interesting just in the Rambam on others how he emphasizes that it, you know, leads to Bedidos.
It leads to?
Bedidos, he says. Like staying close.
Begida?
Bedidos, he says.
Which one are you reading?
Like Beis Yud Aleph.
Beis Yud Aleph.
He emphasizes that it's, you know, that
Good second. Right, that's the problem. Turning around. One second. Comes Rova Taiva. Right?
Yeah.
Marash Korah. Maybe the done with Os. Rias Benim Avul Son Am. Utarev Lo Habrios. What? Interesting.
So I'm saying it's almost like Ayin Hara is incompatible with Shvenus, like being a shocking.
It's what? Yeah.
It can't be a good.
Right, because it's based on it, again, it fires the, and that's kind of what I was writing before also, that he you know, he's motivated to outdo his friend, so that's like an inherently anti, you know, Shachain. Right. I hear that. So again, that's, you know, obviously a very rational, you know, perspective. Again, in between those two things are kind of the things that I was suggesting, and I think Eitan said that he saw sometimes, or Dessler also has some piece on it, but I don't know if we tracked it down yet. I was saying things like, oh, you know, there's always like a level of siyata deshmaya or ashgacha, you know, but there's also a concept of, you know, shove, like, you know, once you know something to be precise, you know, then, you know, that's what it is, it's fixed, you know, it's like a fixed moment, you know, in, not in time, but, you know, in reality, so you don't get the benefit of, you know, of a nes nistar, you know, or a hashkacha. It doesn't have to be a nes nistar, it could be like, you know, going forward, or it's too much of a, you know, of an ez galui, let's say, or people perceive it that way, so like it, you know, it robs you of that potential. Or, and, it's kind of similar to what you were saying now, which is that, you know, if what you're doing is a source of, I would say, one of two things. Either, you know, it feeds your, it reflects and also feeds your materialistic obsession, or, and, it engenders, like, greater, not good competition, not kinesofim tarba chachma, but, you know, greater jealousy, you know, and discord, you know, with your neighbor, you know, then that itself is kind of like, you know, a negative. And, you know, you don't profit, you know, in the same way from the negative. By, you know, by this, you know, chafta that you're looking at, you know, being the source that stirs, you know, that kind of enmity, you know, and so on, you know, so that is, doesn't, it's not misbarech, it doesn't have, like, you know, the, it's a little bit different than what I was saying before. So those, I think, are kind of you know, one step beyond the purely, you know, rational. But yeah, I mean, you could say that according to the Rambam, Lishna Bisha Midas Chasidus is just because it stirs enmity, and that's a kind of hezek. Hezek in the relationships, I hear. Okay, anyway, so those are things to look at and think about. Yeah. You found it.
Yeah.
I'm not catching it.
Yeah, Amru Hazal, Mishum is Asher, Sarah class is missing the model without fish or Ayin Hara. What about Hamu Kamos? Let's see. That's not true about this.
What's the thrust of what he's saying? I'm not catching it.
He's saying that that's something that, that generates kin, that is a source of kin for other people, so that it's something.
That won't be successful.
Right.
Okay, that's kind of the second thing that I said.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't see them in Miktav Meliyahu, I can tell you that. I'm not, I don't have that kind of mumchiut in that sefer. But, yeah. So I think that, or the hashkacha, the like samui mi'ayin, you know, is something which always has more of a bracha, you know, because, again, the question of hashkacha and this nistar. But this is more, also, like, I'm not like mitzvah babavera, but, you know, the point is that if you use your, you know, material goods, or if material goods are a source of, like, tzedakah, you know, bringing people together, so, like, you know, like, just like we say, you know, aser to aser, aser, you know, kadesha titasher, so of course that's a skar vionish halakha, but you could also argue that there's, like, a certain bracha, like, that is associated, you know, with employing things, you know, in a spiritually constructive way, and that by the same token, you know, if material things are a source of divisiveness or of just, it's not mitzvah b'aveira, but, you know, then on the contrary, that's, you know, yavo me'era, you know, then it's, you know, me'era, of course, has a double meaning, you know, a related double meaning, you know, klala and, you know, chisaron. So, you know, there's that, you know, part of it. So it sounds like that's what he's saying? Yeah, go ahead.
So he's explaining the Gemara in Erevin. Mishin is out there. Sorry, class is mitzvah in one without official word Ayin Hara. He says, Kiv emezesh mekani betavero arim miskai ba'asmu betzaro. And so it's mekani, someone else.
He increases that guy's tsar. I mean, this is a little bit different, even. You know, he deserves, you know, what he causes, like mida keneged mida.
Well, he's saying the mekane is high, but avozesh al yado hayelaharero tsar kohina.
Right. That only explains his own difficulties. It doesn't explain why it's mazik. So you're saying, but the fact that this was employed to inflict pain, you know, also undervalues it. Okay, so it is very similar, kind of, to what I'm saying. Not the samui me'ayin, you know, siyata d'shmaya part, but the other one. But again, I think what Mike is saying is correct, too. I mean, for the Rambam, it's just more like it's mazik, because it's mazik, the relationship. That's also psychological and important. You know, if damaging somebody's privacy is... and I would have said, that, you know, in addition to that, what I was saying the other day, which is just knowing his business or the precise... you know, numbers and specifics of his business is just damaging, you know, per se. That doesn't mean, you know, but again, to explain also how that seems to affect, I guess, the actual, you know, if you want to say Mikla Kali or something like that, then you have to explain these other ways. If you want to explain that it's Hezek Re'ia, you know, and you shouldn't do it, you know, then you can explain either the middle ways or just even the purely rational way, of like, this is just a bad, it's bad for you, but it's also one of the reasons it's bad for you is because it's based on, you know, an unhealthy competition and an unhealthy perspective on arvus and haftal racha kamocha, etc. Okay, anyway, so maybe we don't need to do a month, there's more, but okay.
Either way, that's good enough for now. Okay, so let's take our attention. Let's just finish the Shaklavatari of the Gemara first, and then we'll go back to finishing up, you know, some of the issues of minhag and the standards, you know, of the wall. Okay. Okay. So, yeah. Let's have somebody read. Kiva. Go ahead. So we're up to, we read the Gina. You know, we're done with Gina for now. So that, the next one is Kosel Shenofa. That's also very fascinating. Okay, Tashma. Yeah. So, yeah, the Kosel Chatzah Shenafal, and you have to build it back. So the Gemara thought, what? That this proves it has a Griya Shema Hezek, because otherwise why do you have to build it up? Oh. So, that's a reasonable assumption, right? And then the Gemara says, Nafal Shiny. Now the question is, what does Nafal Shiny mean? What does it do? Okay? So, let's say broadly speaking, just, you know, in the same, you know, in the parallel vein that we discussed Gina, right? There are probably two things we're looking at, Akiva, right? One is, let's say along the lines of Gina Shiny, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, and so on, and that whole group, which is that Nefila Shiny, Nafal Shiny, in parallel, is what? We're going to see the Lashonis on the Rishonim in just a minute. But how would Nafal Shiny then be interpreted? I mean, we know what the words mean, you know. Namely, there's a difference between the obligation to build a wall when there is no wall and the obligation to restore a wall when there was one. Right? Okay, that's clear. The question is, on the basis of what? And where does that go? Like, where would you, if you were the Rambam, you know, where would you codify, Kiva, where would you codify that din? In a general way. You don't have to tell me exactly, like, which perek and which halacha, but in general terms. What? Say again? Okay, so meaning this is the question, right? Meaning just like in Gina, we had the question, when the Gemara said shiny Gina. So we had two, broadly speaking, two ways to understand it. One is, there is a hierarchy, just because we hold Hezek Re'iyah, Lav Shmei Hezek, and a Chatzer, it doesn't mean that we're turning our back on all Hezek Re'iyah, correct? We agree that when it comes to a Gina, there is Hezek Re'iyah, Shmei Hezek. That's how many Rishonim read the Gemara. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, the whole group. Tosas. Correct? However, there was another group, equally, you know, impressive group, that when the Gemara says Gina Shiny, they're saying, you know, Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shmo Hezek. Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shmo Hezek even in a Gina. This is a totally different din. Has nothing to do with Hezek Re'iyah. So, to my question, like, where would you codify it, right, in the case of Gina, it's almost like, you know, the Sma question, you know, like, you know, would you want to put Gina in Simin Shinai in Ches, or would you want to put it in Simin, I don't know, Kuf Nun Dalit, or Hey, or something like that? Does it belong in Harchokas Nezakin and Nukos Shkenim? Or does it belong in Uchas Nezikin? So similarly, we could ask about this question, right? The simple pshat of the Gemara, again, if you think that, you know, we're, you know, parsing, we're nuancing here, we're saying, no, don't, just because we said there's no Hezek Re'iyah or Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shmo Hezek in Chatzer, doesn't mean we don't acknowledge Hezek Re'iyah anywhere, does it? That's the big question, right? There's a hierarchy. And in the hierarchy, Nafal Shiny is effective. Now, we still have to explain why. Okay? So in our context, our discussion of Rambam and Gina, and in the case of Lokeach and the Ksos and whatever, we already mentioned Tosis's view, which we're going to get to in just one more second. But that is certainly one way. So one way to learn Nafal Shaini is to say, you know, when there's already a wall, that changes. Then everybody agrees Hezek Rishmei Hezek. But why? So we'll get to that in a second. But the other possibility, even before we move any further, like if we want to be stubborn about it, you know, at least at this point, be tenacious, and say, no, the Gemara is sticking with its guns. Because Havamina was, if Hezek Re'iyah, Lo Shma Hezek and Achatzer, then Hezek Re'iyah's, you know, because it's a Dover Shem B'mamish, you know, it's a nice value, doesn't mean it's a Mazik, correct? So there should be no Hezek Re'iyah, except for there might be the most obvious or egregious type, which this is certainly not. You know, we'll get to Nizke Bias and that in a second. But this is certainly not. So, maybe there's maybe that's true even L'maskana. When the Gemara says, Nafal Shaini, maybe the Mechayev here isn't Hezek Re'iyah. It's what? Yeah, exactly. It's either, some sort of a... Well, let's say in the starkest way, exactly. It's an agreement between the parties. Correct? Okay. So let's kind of refine this just a little bit, these two perspectives, and then see what the Rishonim actually say. According to the first perspective, but you know, before, let's read through the Shach of Atari first, and then we'll see. We'll just take a few minutes to go through the language of the Rishonim to see whether it all works or not. So far we have two, broadly speaking, two ideas, right? So when the Gemara says, Udekari my kari la, what is that? What does that mean, first of all? The Gemara says, Udekari my kari la. Next line, right? Right. What is that? What does that mean, even? The Gemara is saying, like, well, that's so obvious. Right? Yeah, it is a kasha. I mean, if this is, once we've said, if indeed the answer is not false shiny, then isn't that obvious? Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah, right, throws in, or Rabbeinu Yonah says, I don't know why the Gemara is saying it's so obvious. Maybe they should be saying, oh, if the answer is Nefila, then doesn't that prove the other way? That Dafka Hezek Re'iyah Loshma Hezek, because it's only because of Nefila, you know, that you had to build the wall here? That's Rabbeinu Yonah's question. Okay, we'll get back to that. But the pashtus of the Kari Maikari lay is like, ooh, if that's the Hechatimtzi, that's completely obvious. Now, is it so completely obvious? Right? I mean, we'll see what the Gemara answers in a minute. Akiva, what's your impression? Did you think of, like, so obvious? Well, if it's... So the question is what we mean by an agreement. Right? But the truth is that, like, is it obvious if there's no requirement of Hezek Re'iyah? Right? Meaning Hezek Re'iyah Loshma Hezek, is it so obvious that just because Nafal would be shiny? Right? Not so obvious. Not according to either perspective. Oh, you want to care about it. So, right, okay. Could be. And what's the final, just to show this is a difficult Gemara. Everybody has trouble with reading this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Seifa Tzrichalei. Which means... This is the pashtus of the Gemara. Let's say the original wall was five amos. Or you still can only build it up to four. So that, actually, and the Havamina was that you have to build it up higher. So is that Havamina Maskana so simple? And if so, according to which approach? Is it more or less simple? The Havamina and the Maskana. If we're not dealing with Hezek Re'iyah, why? What's the Yichus of four Amos? That's what you just said?
Yeah.
Excellent. Exactly. Meaning, if you take the view that the Gemara's answer here is there's no Hezek Re'iyah, It's just, you know, a halacha and hilchos, you know, shutfim, let's call it. Right? So, what's the yichos of Dalid Amos? If they made an 8-amma wall, you know, then that should be respected. Right? On the other hand, if you take the view that the problem is hezek re'iyah, and tefillah shiny is a hezek re'iyah halakha, right, then the problem is, what was the maskana is perfectly understandable, what was the havamina? Correct? Because obviously the shear of hezek re'iyah is dalid amos. So whichever way you go, what I'm trying to show is, whichever way you go in the broadest sense, are two ways to read this Gemara, just as there were two ways to read the Gina Gemara. Whichever way you go, you have a problem. Now, you could solve the problem by simply saying, difficult Havamina, difficult Havamina of the Havamina. Right? Or you could say, you could solve the problem, you know, through some kind of a umdana, something like that. Right? Or it might be that the gap between these two perspectives is not quite as insuperable, you know, as it might appear. In other words, even if this isn't hezek re'iyah, is it possible that the kosel that was built, you know, was patterned after a hezek re'iyah wall because of kepeda or because of something? Even if it is hezek re'iyah, right, maybe, you know, the fact that it was, you know, kind of a lifnim mishuras hadin, you know, hezek re'iyah, like, oh, we're, you know, raising standards that are not obligatory between the two of us, you know, maybe, you know, that affects it as well. So again, to make it clear. The two problems are, again, there are two approaches are, Nafal Shiny is a din in Haskama, you know, it's a din in the wall, in the agreement about the wall. Okay, if it's a din in the agreement about the wall, you know, what's the yichus of Dalet Amos? Or, it's a hierarchy in hezek re'iyah. There's no hezek re'iyah min hastam, but when people, you know, already conduct themselves on the basis of the principle of hezek re'iyah, then we hold them to it. In which case, like, why would you ever have to build a higher than 4-amma wall? So what I'm suggesting is, either we dismiss, though, we say, listen, you can't have it all. You know, it's either a weaker havamina or a weaker maskana. You know, it's just part of the shaklavataria. And some rishonim say that. Or what I'm suggesting now is that there might be something, you know, to qualify each of these perspectives. So, for example, in hezek re'iyah, right, can there be hezek re'iyah lamala mi dalet amos? Ah, good question, right? Noam? It's dalet amos is pretty much koveya, certainly on the chiyuv level. But have we ever encountered sharshifa? Okay. Now, I don't know why none of the Rishonim who are troubled by these questions quote Sharshifa here. I do not know. I mean, I suspect a little bit. But I thought that it would be very relevant. Of course, it depends a little bit on how you understand the Mecha. You know, we paskin like Rabbi Loi about Sharshifa. But as we know, you know, does it have... There are two questions about it. Number one, does it have anything to do with hezek re'iyah? Like the Ksos will tell you that it has nothing to do with hezek re'iyah. It has to do with Zeneneh v'zelo chaser, kofer lozol midas tom. Right? Or, just to, you know, to say it in another way, you know, regarding the Ramaz and Ramban's question, how come we don't find a Sharshifa, you know, concern about the chaser? So if the answer is a very strong answer, right, namely, you know, people don't keep, you know, benches in their chatzer, or you'd see him right away, he'd get caught, you know, so maybe that really means that there just is no chalos hezekriya whatsoever based on sharshifa and a chatzer. But if the answer is more like the Ramah's answer, right, which is, yeah, you're right, but, it depends on either the initiative or, more likely, the primary threat which spurs the need for a remedy, and therefore, the primary remedy, ironically, in the more problematic, chotzer, is different than the more psychological, paranoid, remedy that's required for the less acute chalon. Correct? So then what you might say is, but there is a chalos, harchakas nezakin for sharshifa, or lemala michas, according to that view in the Ramah, just not, lahalacha, actionable. But if two people, decide that they want to conduct themselves according to that standard, so that would help a lot. Again, no one says it that I'm aware of, but that would help a lot to explain this havamina, even the mala. As for the other perspectives, they say, in the end of the day, so they agree on a wall, and it's a din in the wall, but what's the significance of the wall? Right? So, number one, is there just is a chalos of a wall, of Dalad Amos. Is there a chalos of a wall, Dalad Amos, even if there's no chiyuv, or even chalos of Hezek Re'iyah? That's a little bit touchy. Hard to say that a little bit, but maybe the idea is, again, from the Dine Hezek Re'iyah point of view, right, there is no requirement, even based on past standard. However, if you want to, volunteer, that doesn't mean there isn't any chalos, extra hezekria. It just means it's never going to turn into something that per se is obligatory. But if that's what the nature of the haskama of the wall was, then that's still, koveya. So from that point of view, if that's what the wall significance is, even if the mechayev isn't hezekriya, but the chalos of the wall is hezekriya, so you might say, well, there's no bigger wall than that. A 5-amma wall or an 8-amma wall, is just, it's just a dalet amos plus wall. And I don't even mean that the plus is significant. I mean, it's Dalet Amos, and whatever was done Lamala, is kind of inconsequential. Okay. So, I think that we do find all of these elements. And then, again, this would be important because it will again, each one establishes something very, important. Obviously, saying that this is part of the hierarchy of Hezek Re'iyah, is important in its own right. You can have no chiyu, but based on, previous conduct, the expectation that that continues, changes things. I also think that can be said in two ways. I'm going to demonstrate this in a minute. Or three ways. One is the way that two of them are the way Tosa says it. So let's just get that down, and then I'm going to go through each Rishon very quickly. What does Tosa say? Noam? Nafal Shaini? Yeah, so I actually think that what Tosa says here is a little confusing because he says two different points, right? One is shehur gelu lasos davrat zneya b'chatzer, and I think both of them are a little mechudash. That you can, that these aren't objective standards, but it can be a function of, again, what you're accustomed to, what you agree to, what the expectations are, etc. But I think that Tosas here is saying two different points. The first half of the sentence, Shehur gulas es davrat zneya b'chatzer, meaning, because you had the wall, so you turned the chatzer, you know, even if it's hezek rielo shmo hezek, into a bias or something close to it. And we'll see soon that some of the Rishonim actually do say that it's like bias, right? And others do not. They stop short of that. But by saying v'lalamdu lizayir zeh mizeh, I think we're actually invoking, you know, that other Gemara, right? The one that we find in discussions of Rishus HaRabim and Vavmid Beis and the Gemara here on the bottom, you know, something like the equivalent of lididi kviyali tashmishi lididoch lo kavinaloch tashmishosech lo yadana behe idna slikam right v'osis deitstana minach, right? Meaning, you know, the problem is that, you know, it's hard, you know, it's good, you could say, you know, ala mazik laharchik or ala nizik laharchik, but let's say, you know, in these circumstances, hezek rielo shmo hezek, maybe there is a chalos nezek, but, you know, it's not ala mazik laharchik, maybe it's not gira delay, you know, or whatever it is. It doesn't qualify, but it's only ala nizik laharchik if the nizik can be marchik. If I'm defenseless, you know, that's a different reality. So what about being defenseless because of being accustomed, you know, to protection? I think that's different, you know, than saying, I think you could have said two different things. We'll see in a second. But I think Rabbeinu Yonah, when he quotes this view, I think it's Rabbeinu Yonah, or the Ramal, I'll see in a minute, only quotes the first part, Shehur Gululasos Davrat Sneha B'chatzer. And I think he actually equates it to bias. Now, the equation to bias, I think, is also fascinating. It's something we need to talk about both with regard to bias also, but, you know, when we say Hurgul Lasos Davrat Sneha B'chatzer, and we speak about, you know, the sanctity of the home, let's say, you know, do we just mean that, you know, behind closed doors, you know, people do certain things that they need to do, you know, for their, you know, physical, you know, survival, you know, that require privacy. You know, whether it's, you know, in terms of physiological, you know, health needs, or whether it's in terms of issues. Is that all we mean? We certainly also mean that. Or do we also mean that the very fact that, you know, all of those things take place behind closed doors of a home and in the sanctity of a home, but it's more than that, and maybe it's related to that, or maybe not, probably is, you know, it's just that your home is your castle, it's your, you know, it's your sanctified place, and therefore it's also just a place of greater, you know, privacy, even if we're not talking about Dvarim Shel Tznius, per se. Like, if you look at some of the Rishonim, Rashi, like later on in Daf Samach Chamed Aleph, and even Rashi here, when he talks about Hezekah Dabai is shiny. Sh'odam osa v'beso divrei hatsneya. Like, what does that mean? Is he talking about, and some of the Rishonim are very explicit. I mean, the Ramah, I think in some cases, is very explicit. You know, we're talking about besakise, we're talking about, you know, ishus. My own instinct is that at least in the Gemara, there's no need to say that. And I think for quite a few other Rishonim, you know, there's no need to say that. It's more about the location than it is about the specific things that are done there. So either way, when Tosa says the two things, either way, Tosa is mechudash, because it's the idea that it isn't the objective location, you know, not even in, you know, ba'asra de nehigi, you know, but it could just be, you know, what you're accustomed to. So both in terms of the turning it into a mokom hatsneya, what does he mean that, you know, you're going to conduct yourself, you know, behind the wall in the chatzer, like you do in your home? That, and is that what the Rishonim mean? Who actually make, again, the Gemara, Tosis doesn't make the comparison. Tosis may think that those are two different levels still. But even the Rishonim, we'll see inside, we'll go quick survey, who do think so, you know, is it that they, do they think that both are just narrow, you know, Dvarim Sheltzina Brura? Or is it clear that what they really mean is, you know, it's a mokom tsanua bioter, you know, in terms of just your privacy also. Like, you know, people shouldn't be seeing what you're doing in there at all. Even if it has nothing to do, you know, with things that are inherently, you know, off limits, you know, visually. Okay? So, yeah, either way. So let's just go through the Rishonim and see what we have here. Akiva. So Tosis we just pointed out to. We pointed out Tosis. I think there's another way to interpret, like, you know, Tosis. Like I said, two things. Number one, I think you could break up these two points, even though I think both are Mechudash. Tosis puts them together. As I said, I think some of the Rishonim do break them up, or at least have the first one without the second, which I think is important. In addition, there is a Lashon in some of the Rishonim, Chachmei Sfarad, I believe, that simply talk about Kopti. Meaning if these two people decided that they're makpid, you know, to have, you know, safeguards and hezek re'iyah, you know, in their chatzers, you know, between their chatzers, even if that's not obligatory, that's kpeda. I think that's a lashon, one of the lashonos in also in Rabbeinu Yonah. That's different, you know, from my point of view, than what Tosa says. Tosa says, you know, you know, because it's a wall, so that has transformed, you know, the place and the kind of things that you do in this place. I'm only mistapek. Does he mean the most private things, or does he mean it's like behind closed doors in a bigger, broader sense, right? But Tosis isn't saying, you know, that the Kpeda, if you guys want to be Makpid, you can bump up the standards of Hezekriah. In a way, this goes to it's the flip opposite. I'm going to document the Lashonis everything in just a second. So just it's not. I know we're speaking abstractly. I hope it's a shortcut, but we'll have to finish with this Thursday, I guess. But yeah. So in a way, it's a flip opposite of how I'm interpreting Rabbeinu Yonah, right? In you know, Malkom Shinagu, you know, Bechatzer Lo Ligdor. Right. There I'm suggesting, though, the Rajbo rejected it, and although I think he had a narrower view of it that he's rejecting, but what I was saying for Rabbeinu Yonah was that the Mokom Shinagu Lo Ligdor, they're basically saying, you know what? You know, we're not Makbin, and therefore you know, even if Hezek Re'iyah Shema Hezek, right, this does not qualify as a Mokom Tzanua. Right, my courtyard, you know, is not an extension of my home, you know, and privacy. Of course, I own it as an individual, you know, but it's a more public, you know, privately owned place. It's not a private place, and I can make that determination. So can I also do the opposite? And here I'm not talking about Mokom Shinoagu. I'm talking about, you know, the agreement between, you know, two neighbors. Like, if we decided that we're a Makpid, so that sets, you know, so for, you know, we've bumped up the Chatzer and we've made it into a Gina or a Bias. You know, that's different than what Tosa says, which is, you know, this is they've been conducting themselves in a certain way, and that in itself has a reality. Here we're saying it's the Kpeda. Like, let's say they built the wall, or they agreed to build the wall, right? And then, like, the next day the wall fell down, and no one had a chance to use the garm. You know, I'm not saying this happens maisim shebechal yom. I guess it depends who your builder is. Can happen, right? You need a good contractor. But let's say there's an earthquake. Right? So, it wasn't hurgalu. You know, lishtamish bo velo yachal li zahir. But they did make a kind of an agreement, or an implied agreement, you know, that they're going to treat their chatzer like a bias. Right? Okay. So that is, you know, let's just look very quickly. What did I just say? That some of the Rishonim, let's look quickly at the Ramah. One second. Somebody could get it open, or the Rajba actually very much follows Rabbeinu Yonah here, as he usually does. I think that's something I mentioned that we should keep an eye out for, just as it's helpful to know, and it's also interesting to know. see. But just let's just do the survey very quickly. Look at the Rama and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba for a minute. I have this thing, but we're running out of time. I have to do that, finish this Thursday. But Thursday, I also want to go through, I want to go through these Rishonim to try to figure out the Lishonus and so on. And then I also wanted the Beis Shar, you know, the things I told you to look at, including the Nesivos, though, on Kuf Samach Aleph Aleph, in connection with the Rashash and the Rama about, you know, uneven Shudfas. What's the din of uneven Shudfas and Beis Shar, you know, and Chatzar? Yeah, okay. So that just, you know, just fill that. And the other things I told you, the Malkam Shinagu and so on. So the Rama on Kosel Shonofal says, Iomris Bishlomam, first of all, you know, when he talks about the possibility of Arba Amma Solomala, Ein Machaivinos, Olivnos, Afagav Davagabe Tve. So he's Toled. He says, Iomris Bishlomam, Bishom Hezek Ria, Hainu Dein Machaivinos, Olivnos, Ela Adalad Amos. Eliomris Bishom Dahavahasam Kosel Mekara, which is the language of Rashi, we'll get to that in a second. You know, because there's nothing to do with Hezekriah. Right? So that's, the Rama thinks that this Gufa is part of the Shagapatari of the Gemara. The two perspectives that we were discussing, Gufa determine whether or not the Havamina, he's taking an absolutist view. If it's not, if it has just Masha Asumi Kara, right, then there's no Yichus to Dalet Amos. He's taking an extreme view. If it's Midin Hezek Re'ia, you know, here, right? Hamitaritz mitaritz diminikar ain't mishum hezekria. Nafal shiny, aval chatchila lo mechayvina. Okay. Rabbeinu Yonah, as I said, I think is more interesting here. Anybody have it? Tashma kosel chatzah shenafal mechayvina salivnosa adalaram is nafal shiny. Shekvar nisratu mitchila lasuska. That's Rashi. Okay, I should just get Rashi on the. Okay, before we do Rabbeinu Yonah, let me just get the other two in quickly. Rashi, unlike Tosis, Akiva, Nafal Shaini, yeah, he doesn't say what Tosis says. Well, so what Shekvar Nisratzu? Now, it could be Shekvar Nisratzu and therefore this Kpeda. Doesn't sound that way. It sounds like Kvar Nisratzu, and it's a deal. Correct? So, the problem with Rashi's pshat, which the Rishonim point out, is what? Who said, so what, they originally made a deal to build a wall, the wall fell down. Why does that mean that they have to rebuild the wall? Right? So, again, just thinking aloud, did they agree to build this wall, or did they agree to separate, you know, from each other? Or even more importantly, did they agree to simulate a Hezekriah type of separation? Those are all different perspectives. If they agreed on a wall, not a wall, but a wall, right? Then why are they obligated to, you know, to pitch in for a second wall if there's no Hezekriah? This would bother some in Chitam Kubetza, some of the Mfarshin. We'll see in a moment. Or is it just, you know, they agreed stam? You know, that they're going to have a bear that, you know, what is it exactly? But either way, if it's that they agreed, you know, on a certain kind of wall, or to have a barrier between them, then maybe that's a continuing ischaivus. Okay. If they agreed to have a barrier, you know, in the pattern of, or that would eliminate even further, sharshifa type hezekriyas, even if it isn't a mechayiv of hezekriyah, it still defines the wall. So, Shekfar Nisratzo Rishonim Bakosel. Good, that's Rashi. Rabbeinu Gershom, I think, is even more explicit. Akiva, you have that? But he addresses a little bit some of these issues. You know, it's earlier than Rashi. So what Rabbeinu Gershom includes here already, subtly, Akiva, is what? I mean, because he knows Meirot. Like, why does the Gemara think this has anything to do with Hazagriya? All we're saying is that if two people built, if they built a wall and it fell down, that they have to rebuild it. Why does that prove anything about Hazagriya? Right? So he says, the very fact that it's, how do you know that this wall has anything to do with Hazagriya? The answer is because Dalet Amos. Correct? Dalet Amos gives it away. But that's going to be important. Umishani. Oh, so this is it really true? Is that true? Ten tefachim is not a mechitza? In Hilchos Shabbos? Right? In a dofen? Sukkah, maybe Dofen is in Kilayim, in Ohalos, right? The standard size of a mechitza is not Dalet Amos. Standard size of a makom is Dalet Amos. Standard size of a mechitza is 10 tefachim, right? So this is a very fascinating Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom saying that Hol Hava Mikara, like Rashi, right? Because the shame, mechitza, here, that they're talking. So, what does it mean? What's the implication? That they agreed to build. The Mechayev is not Hezekriya. But the agreement was to build a Hezekriya wall. Right? That's what it must be. Aval, Gabe Masnisen, Shloya Meolam Mechitza. Okay, now you can skip down. Go to the last one. Midalan Ulamas Ma'ein Mechayevin also. Why not? I mean, it's all because it's all the agreement. They built a 10 Amos wall. What's the answer? Says that's where Rabbeinu Gershom weighs in. Very important. Alma Shmamina. If we care about Dalet Amos and not about 10 Amos, right? Obviously, the Mechayev is Hezekriya. So again, Rabbeinu Gershom is clearly, you know, like the Ramah. In the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara itself, it's like the Shaka Vitari of the Gemara itself is weighing, is this a Hezekriya halacha, or is this a haskama about the wall halacha? Right? Umishamachi and Mechagin Osala Kashir, Sheni Achaliros. Go ahead. Vamatirates. Oh, it's not Midin Hezekriya, but the Cheftza Shalch, or the Chalos of the Mechitza, is a Hezekriya wall. Meaning, of course they did it because they don't want Hezekriya. Just that Alpidin, it's below the threshold, and it doesn't change anything. Not their Kpeda, and not the Hurgalu, and not the Eina Micholim Od Lizar. None of it changes anything in Hilchos Hezekriya. But, you know, if they want to create their own standards, but which never turns into any halachically actionable status, they can still decide what kind of, reason that they want the wall, what kind of wall it is. Rabbeinu Gershom knows that in Kol Torah Kula, a wall is 10 tefachim. But he's saying the wall here, the chalos wall here, is Dalet Amos. Which is also interesting because if Alpidin, there is no din of Hezekriya, you might have also said that, there's no chalos kosel either. So it's either ten tefachim or it's whatever it was. So Rabbeinu Gershom saying, no. since their goal was Hezekria, even though there's no Alpidin Chalos, right, the Hagdara of this Mechitza is still Mechitzas Hezekria. Maybe because of, of what we said a couple of minutes ago. Sharshifa? Now, maybe Sharshifa, just like the Tzosin way. It's not Chaser. It's not Lo Chaser. Even if it isn't an internal din in Hezekria, or maybe it's still a standard. It's not an actionable standard ever. So you have Rashi and you have Rabbeinu Gershom. That's sharp contrast to the, I think, 2 points in Tosis. Now I'll get back to Rabbeinu Yonah for a minute. Who has Rabbeinu Yonah open? Going to have to daven in a minute. So Rabbeinu Yonah starts Shekvar Nisratzu Mitchila Lasos Kosel Kasha Shenafal Hakosel Shenisratzu Lebe Menachayev Oso. Why should be chayev at all? This is Rabbeinu Yonah asking the question. Like why does he have to build it up at all? Meaning, it's a haskama, it's a limited haskama about building a specific wall. Yishlomar kegon shenisratzu lasos mechitza. Demistama lo lemechitza rishona levad nisratzu. The agreement was to have a wall. It wasn't to have this wall. It wasn't to have one wall. It was to be separated. Let's say it that way. Interesting, when the Shita Bubetzes quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah, he changes the words a little bit. He talked about it, talking about a case where he said stam. Interesting. But here in the Rabbeinu Yonah itself, it's a little more than that. The mistama, lola mechitza rishona levad nisratu. But listen to the language. Here, till now, Rabbeinu Yonah is working with what? With the idea of Mikarahavu, and it's part of the Haskama. But now he's trying to explain they wanted a wall, but let's say they didn't specify. So he says, well, why do they want the wall? Kiven Shemakpidin Hein Al Hezek Re'ia. So it doesn't sound like he's saying that the Kpeda on Hezek Re'ia, per se, creates Hezek Re'ia. But the Kpeda on Hezek Re'ia is certainly enough to establish that the wall is a Hezek Re'ia wall. V'yesh Mefaresh. Now he quotes Tosis. Nafal Shaini Shekvar Hurgalu. Lishtamish, Velasos Divrei Tznius Bechatzer, Ukad Amrina Mishmaita, Nezeka Debayis Shaini. Notice he dropped the, Ve'ena Micholim Lizaher part, which I think is interesting. And he includes the comparison to bias. Then Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to say, Udekari Maikari, so this question that he mentioned before, Adarabba Mikanyesh Kushul Dvar of Shalmaksha. Okay, but at the end of the day, when it comes to the Sefer Tzrichale, well, Zahava, you should build an 8 amos, right? So the Rabbeinu Yonah rejects that, and he can't solve it. V'hanami lav milsahi, she'im etchila ratza livnos, achshav shenafa, lama yesh l'chavu yosar midalat amos. Like, why would anybody think that? Why? This is totally l'shitaso, because even when he's explaining, right, the idea, being based on their haskama, he's explaining that they wanted to build, their haskama was to be makbid, even though there doesn't change dine hezekriya, but to be makbid, to practice it between them. And that dictates the wall. But still there's no chalos than a wall higher, so what would be the havamina? Right? So that's Lashitaso. Once he has, that's why I said that, in other words, you can be like a strict constructionist in either direction. Say, if it's Hezekria, right? So, it plugs in. Or if it's, the Haskama to build the wall, it has nothing to do with Hezekria. But Rabbeinu Yonah thinks it's Haskama to build a wall for Hezekria wall, as does Rebbe Gershom, just that he pushes it even further, you know, to be makbid. So while that doesn't generate hezekriya necessarily, what it does do is it makes any wall higher than Dalet Amos insignificant. So he came up with a huge chiddush, which the Rajba also adopts, which is Ela Seifa Itzrichale Samachlo Kosalacher Dashminam Shimbano Echad Mehem Lo Aminat. If you look at the Gemara there, right, there's a Seifa of the Seifa. Right, we're just talking about again. I don't want to get into that case right now, but we'll get to it. Samachlo Kosalacher. But for our purposes now, he's being dochek, the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba, by basically, because he can't explain how on earth there could be a Havamina that you'd have to build a higher than Dalet Amos Kosel, even if you had one. I mean, you would never extend, there's just no Chalos, it's 4+. Whereas some other Rishonim had exactly the opposite problem. You're like, why isn't it 8? So Rabbeinu Gershom said what he said. Rabbeinu Yonah went even a little bit step further. But the Rishonim within Rashi, a lot of them are troubled. Like, why isn't it the 8? And Rabbeinu Yonah is so not troubled that he doesn't even think it can be a question in the Gemara. It can't even be a Havamina. So we need to look to the Sefer of the Sefer, which the Gemara doesn't quote, but it's like, you know, the Chule. That's very remarkable. If you look at Shita Mekubetzes, here, let's say you have like the Tosa Rush and others. I'm just going to take 2 more minutes and then we'll finish with this next time. But, 1 second. I'll just read a couple very quickly. Nofal Shiny. Okay. The Tosa Rosh. Pirsh Rashi. Misratzu Mitchila Las is called Vikasha. According to Rashi. Kivin de Hezek Rialoshme Hezek, Veino Kai Velemishum de Nisratza, Afil Lamalami Dalet Amos Nami. Right? That's the exact parallel opposite of Rabbeinu Yonah. And remember, Rabbeinu Yonah is also working within Rashi. But oh, Im Nisratza La Kosala Rishon. Lonus Racha Bishwazel Livnos Kosal Iolam. Right? But also Kosal Shanis Racha Nafal. Meaning, they made an agreement. It's the narrowest agreement you can think about. Zero to do with Hezekriah. Not even the name, not even the quality or the character of the wall. No Rabbeinu Gershom, no Rabbeinu Yonah, nothing. And not only that, but going back to Rabbeinu Yonah's first question, like Rabbeinu Yonah's answer is, yeah. Because what's the point of the wall? The point of the wall is to be makbid on extra hezekriya, even though it's not alpidin. But the Tosa Rush is taking it like, you know, kipchuto. You know, whatever reason, they decided to build a wall. So number one, why isn't it the brick and mortar in front of them? Why is it the concept or to be separated? And number two, as I said, so why shouldn't we be makbid on rebuilding more than 4? In the Shita Kubetzel, they quote Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah tirates Baliosav kigon nisratu lasas mechitza stam. The mestam alola mechitza b'shonin nisratu kimin shemakpidim al hezekriya. But see, the language is a little bit stronger in Rabbeinu Yonah. But that's the answer. U'bahachim mitar sinami kusha kemaisa. Etc. But it's even more than that. It's not just he's metarits kusha kemaisa. He's metarits it so much that he can't even understand it, and he has to say that's not what the Gemara even asked. Okay. But he says, well, l'shitas Rashi lo diek shapir lishna denaf al shayni. Listen to this. This is Shita Kubetzes talking. It says, according to Rashi, when the Gemara says naf al shayni, it doesn't parallel Delohava kishinuya de gina shiny. Delael. Because gina shiny, hainuloma de gina isbe hezekriya. There's a hierarchy in hezekriya. Right? But now we're saying that nafal shiny for Rashi has nothing to do with hezekriya. It's a totally different din. right? Ela mishud benafal nisratza bekosa mikar liolam leka hezegria benafal. Of course, is that really true? Is that a fair question? It's only fair if you think that that's the pshat in Gina. Right? But half of the Rishonim, the Rama, you know, the Rambam, the Gilyon and the Shiva, half of the Rishonim don't think that's the pshat. The Rabbeinu Gershom, they think when the Gemara said Gina Shiny, they were saying, there's no hierarchy. Hezegria, no. Nothing. Of course, if there is a hierarchy, we can still raise the question. So, what about B'makom Kenyan? And what about B'makom Chazaka? And what about B'makom Shenagu, Lo Ligdor? Will we be Mechalek between, Chatzar and Gina? Will we be Mechalek between Nafal Shaini, and not? I'm saying even L'Halacha. Then we say Hezek V'Yishma Hezek. But let's say it was also Nafal. Right, does that make it even worse? Or the other ones? Bayez, Sazeka de Rabim. If there really is a hierarchy, there could be Nafkamina. Right? Okay. Vim Tomer Lepirish Rashi, Dechika Mashani, Nafal Shani, Muka Kishan Isratu, Lasas Kosal Stam, Kidakasim Nel. So, Maika Parach Udakarile? Why does that make it so obvious? We're giving an answer because it's a problem. Shlomar, Demikar, Kippah, etc. Okay, fine. The point I'm trying to make is that it's a very difficult Shaklavataria. If you read it in either extreme, it's a problem. But as I say, you can take each of these positions, and moderate them somewhat, and that becomes very important. And then he contrasts it. Avotosis Pirsha Nafal Shaini, Shahurgo Lasas Dovrat Zanua. He doesn't quote the second part either. Kidomrinan Hezeka Dabai Shaini. But in Tomer Lepirsh Atosis, my Kamishani Sefer Itzrich Midalad Amos Solamala Hanami Pshita, right? Lama Nechayev Livnos Yosra Midalad Amos. That's where my Sharshifa comes into play. Okay. Avala Rosh Tirates, true. Tafilu Hurgalu Lishtamesh Tashmish Tsanua Mearba Amos Solamala Filo Hachin Mechayev Noso She'en Kokach Tashmish Kavua Midalad Amos. There's no Chalos. Again, what about Sharshifa? Maybe Sharshifa in Bechatzer zero, or maybe it's only Midas Stone. Right? Hard to know. But the Rush is saying there's no, even if it's Horgalu, right? There's no such thing as Dalet Omal. Very interesting question. Well, if he Rashi, Lo Kashamidi, Dasal Hashemina Nafil Nisratza Mikar Lamala Midalet. That Havamina is understood according to Rashi. Inami, Yeshomer the Seifa Asal Hashemina, Dafagav de Mikara. Maybe it's to teach you, what if you have to make it higher, you have to make it thicker, so maybe you have to keep the thicker even if you don't have to keep the higher. That's very creative. Rashi. Okay, unlikely, but it tells you something about the Shittim Kubetzis's, perspective on the extremes. Okay. I'm going to have to stop, but Two other things very, very quickly. So just if you get a chance, the Ramban on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Shittim Kubetzis says to look at the Ramban on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. On Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Ramban speaks generally about the Karile Makarile. So he has an interesting methodological question. When the Gemara says something like the Karile, Makarile, do you have to really work so hard to figure out, how could the Gemara think of such a question, and then how could they think, that you would have to think of such a question? Or can it be just, kind of a looser Shaklavataria? That's a discussion of the Ramban on Yizayin Odeis. So he quotes Yesh Mefarshim, this could be one more minute, to say, sometimes it's just a Shaklavataria, you don't have to go crazy about it. The Ramban himself says, absolutely not. He says, Shaklavataria, the Gemaras are very meduyak, and here's a line. Yesh toan lama uchet the Talmud b'hachi lemaksha mina kihechet the techaver shmaita kei debreish pirka kama damer nafal shayni udekari my kari uman demaksha yagdol tor viyadir mezeino klum. It's like the beginning, like the Shittim Kubetzis discussions in the beginning of Bava Kama. Zeno klum, shein derech ha-talmud l'hakshe shalim kein mechavra shmaitza tvei kefidas ha-maksha. So what's the pshat in the Gemara? He says, no. Hahi de bereish pirkei kesoka d'arta ki hecha de lamala midalad ein b'chai min osafo pisha nafal kivin de leka hezek hakanami lamata midalad isoka d'arta hezek rielo shmei hezek. Meaning there's no difference even if it's nafal between lamala midalad, he's equating hezek ria lo shma hezek and hezek ria shma hezek, but structurally it's lamala midalad. But diktani nafal mishum seifa umakomako mataret svirle kivin de gali daiti de kapti behezek ria kapti vim nafal, he has to be mesale kazeka. So the Ramban has pure kapti, not kurgalu lasos. That's number one. I think that's very interesting. Again, as a chumra, kapti, not lo kapti as a kula like Rabbeinu Yonah. But it's also just very interesting, this equation that he makes between hezek re'ia lo shma hezek, even lamata, and according to the mandam hezek re'ia shma hezek, right, but lamala. Okay. The other thing I want to speak about very quickly is the Rimigash. So just look at that very quickly if you get a chance on this. And then I want to speak about, you know, Beis Shar and whatever. As I say, the Ramban, I think I gave the things I gave it a look at, plus the Nesivos Kuf Samach Aleph, plus the Rashash, plus the Ramah and Rashash and Shulchan Aruch about uneven ownership in the, that's all connected. And then to finish up with the Makom Shenoagu, you know, versus, you know, the width, the material, you know, the Ra'a and the Nebuke Yosef, all that stuff, that's what we have left, and then we'll move on to Kilai. Okay? Yeah.